you will hear an interview with a British politician. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear. You now have 1 minute in which to look at part three.
My guest today is former Government Minister Susan Graham. While always regarded as somewhat unusual, it was only after her attack on her colleague Martin Jones for his policies as senior government minister responsible for prisons that she started to attract considerable media attention, by no means all flattering or indeed relevant. Susan, as a politician, do you always act on the things you believe are right?
I've always put my views on conscience issues, always, even if I know some of them are unpopular. I put them to the electorate so that people know exactly what they're getting. I think that is important. There is one thing I do despise, actually, and I really do despise it. It's the politician who tries to have things always. Not because he says honestly, actually, I haven't made my mind up. That's different. Occasionally, we don't make our minds up. But the politician who says, well, actually, I think this, but it's a bit unpopular, so I'm going to try and dress it up and I'm going to try and present it in a different way to the electorate. That, I actually think, is wrong.
Is politics your whole life?
Certainly, I do not wish to be engaged in any other profession other than politics.
So, what do you say to those people who feel that, in the tremendous battle with Martin Jones, your political future could well have been closed off?
Oh, well, that was a price that I knew that I would have to pay right from the start. I'm aware that this will be open to misinterpretation, but I felt that, in a way, I was being brought to the time of trial. That if I let that weigh with me, that if I let my own political future weigh with me over an issue which I did consider to be enormously important in all sorts of different ways, then really it wouldn't be worth having as a political future. As I've said, to look at self-advancement in its own right, it isn't worth a damn. It really isn't.
You would have got support privately, I'm sure. But in the end, your colleagues didn't support you publicly, did they?
No, let me make it very clear. One or two colleagues did very kindly come out and support. I actually said to them, no, you know, this is something I want to do alone. It is something that it is much better that I do alone without embroiling other people in it.
But isn't politics always about embroiling other people?
No, it's not always about embroiling other people.
Very often, then, very often.
It can often be about embroiling other people, but not always, not invariably. I think there are some things about which you say, I don't actually want to get anybody else caught up with this. This is something which I feel I've got to do. What I said was very straightforward. I'm going to make my doubts and my reservations known. It is then entirely up to my colleagues whether they take those into account or not. And if they want to say no, they're not going to take those into account, that's up to them. I did my duty at the point that I made my doubts and reservations known. I didn't have to go any further.
But doesn't it affect your judgment of your colleagues that they didn't support you publicly? You felt so strongly this is something you said was massively important.
I think every time you take a stand on something, and I have taken a number of stands in my time, then quite obviously the way that you look at your fellow MPs is going to be somewhat coloured by whether they share that stand, whether they actively oppose that stand, or whether they just shrug neutrally. It would be somewhat coloured. But politics is a great kaleidoscope of changing alliances, and people that you can be bitterly opposed to one day are people with whom you can be allied the next. And therefore, the fact that there were some colleagues who thought I was quite mad, and there were other colleagues who gave me a lot of support, but made sure it was all extremely sotto voce and behind closed doors, that is something that I would expect. And I have no doubt that there will be other issues when some of those colleagues and I will swap positions.
You would expect them to think you were mad?
I would expect some of them to think I'm bonkers, because I'm afraid there are some politicians who believe that you should never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, do anything to rock the boat. And you should always put yourself first. And I actually went against both those two great criteria.
Now, to change the subject, I'd like to look back at an earlier part.
Now you'll hear part three again.
My guest today is former government minister Susan Graham. While always regarded as somewhat unusual, it was only after her attack on her colleague Martin Jones for his policies as senior government minister responsible for prisons that she started to attract considerable media attention, by no means all flattering or indeed relevant. Susan, as a politician, do you always act on the things you believe are right?
I've always put my views on conscience issues, always, even if I know some of them are unpopular. I put them to the electorate so that people know exactly what they're getting. I think that is important. There is one thing I do despise, actually, and I really do despise it. It's the politician who tries to have things always. Not because he says honestly, actually, I haven't made my mind up. That's different. Occasionally we don't make our minds up. But the politician who says, well, actually, I think this, but it's a bit unpopular, so I'm going to try and dress it up and I'm going to try and present it in a different way to the electorate. That, I actually think, is wrong.
Is politics your whole life?
Certainly, I do not wish to be engaged in any other profession other than politics.
So, what do you say to those people who feel that, in the tremendous battle with Martin Jones, your political future could well have been closed off?
Oh, well, that was a price that I knew that I would have to pay right from the start. I'm aware that this will be open to misinterpretation, but I felt that, in a way, I was being brought to the time of trial. That if I let that weigh with me, that if I let my own political future weigh with me over an issue which I did consider to be enormously important in all sorts of different ways, then really it wouldn't be worth having as a political future. As I've said, to look at self-advancement in its own right, it isn't worth a damn. It really isn't.
You would have got support privately, I'm sure. But in the end, your colleagues didn't support you publicly, did they?
No, let me make it very clear. One or two colleagues did very kindly come out and support. I actually said to them, no, you know, this is something I want to do alone. It is something that it is much better that I do alone, without embroiling other people in it.
But isn't politics always about embroiling other people?
No, it's not always about embroiling other people.
Very often, then, very often.
It can often be about embroiling other people, but not always, not invariably. I think there are some things about which you say, I don't actually want to get anybody else caught up with this. This is something which I feel I've got to do. What I said was very straightforward. I'm going to make my doubts and my reservations known. It is then entirely up to my colleagues whether they take those into account or not. And if they want to say no, they're not going to take those into account, that's up to them. I did my duty at the point that I made my doubts and reservations known. I didn't have to go any further.
But doesn't it affect your judgment of your colleagues that they didn't support you publicly? You felt so strongly this is something you said was massively important.
I think every time you take a stand on something, and I have taken a number of stands in my time, then quite obviously the way that you look at your fellow MPs is going to be somewhat coloured by whether they share that stand, whether they actively oppose that stand, or whether they just shrug neutrally. It would be somewhat coloured. But politics is a great kaleidoscope of changing alliances, and people that you can be bitterly opposed to one day are people with whom you can be allied the next. And therefore, the fact that there were some colleagues who thought I was quite mad, and there were other colleagues who gave me a lot of support, but made sure it was all extremely sotto voce and behind closed doors, that is something that I would expect, and I have no doubt that there will be other issues when some of those colleagues and I will swap positions.
You would expect them to think you were mad?
I would expect some of them to think I'm bonkers, because I'm afraid there are some politicians who believe that you should never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, do anything to rock the boat, and you should always put yourself first. And I actually went against both those two great criteria.
Now, to change the subject, I'd like to look back at an earlier part.
That's the end of part three. Now turn to part four.